Well, good morning. Thank you all for joining us this morning. I just returned late Saturday night from my trade mission to Vietnam and the Philippines. The trip was extremely productive, and for the companies that joined us, as well as the state of Iowa, I had an outstanding delegation, and they did a phenomenal job, really, of being great ambassadors for the state of Iowa. But we are here to talk about health care in Iowa. In August of 2011, we announced our goal for Iowa to become the healthiest state in the nation, according to the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index. The Healthiest State Initiative is a public-private partnership, and it was really created to help move Iowa forward. The initiative was activated and empowered by Iowa communities, businesses, and people. And already we've seen success with hundreds of thousands walking in the Healthiest State walks and 19 communities working to become Blue Zone communities. Although it's still early, we already are beginning to see some progress. In fact, just last week, it was announced that Iowa had moved from 16th to 9th in the nation's rankings of well-being, and our goal, of course, is still to become the healthiest state in the nation. To get there, Governor Branstad and I believe that it is critically important that Iowans take ownership of their health. And today we'd like to discuss our plan to increase Iowans' access to private insurance coverage, as well as access to outcomes-focused health care coverage for the neediest of Iowans. And with that, it's my pleasure to turn the podium over to Governor Branstad.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, and welcome home. Thanks for your good work representing the state of Iowa on this trade mission. Today we are pleased to announce the Healthy Iowa Plan. This plan does four things: improves access to health care, reimburses and rewards positive health outcomes, encourages Iowans to take ownership of their own health care decisions, and is sustainable for the long term. Under our plan, more Iowans will be served by the private insurance market, with access to affordable plans available through health benefit exchanges. As you know, that's part of Obamacare. Private insurance is a positive step for the patient with greater access to care, the provider through greater reimbursement, and the taxpayer with less reliance on the entitlement system. Iowans who are below the poverty level are eligible for tax credits available. Iowans who are above the federal poverty level, are available for tax credits in the exchanges that will pay for most, if not all, of the health care. This, as you know, is part of the Affordable Care Act, and we are, of course, like everybody else, forced to participate in this. We are participating in this. We had three choices. We have chosen to go the partnership route, and through that, the lower your income, the more subsidy you get. So, but that is for private exchanges, and those exchanges will be managed through the partnership here in the state of Iowa. Purchasing on the exchanges gives Iowans the opportunity to choose what's best for themselves and their families. Now, obviously, there's still a lot of questions about how this is going to work and whatever. We're going to try to do our best to partner with HHS to make this as easy and understandable as possible for the citizens of the state. All individual Iowans earning less than the poverty level will be eligible to enroll in the Healthy Iowa Plan. Those on the Healthy Iowa Plan will be enrolled in accountable care organizations that will ensure local access to health care in all parts of Iowa. This is a modern health plan that will pay providers to care for their whole population based on the quality of care they deliver. The Healthy Iowa Plan will also use personal responsibility measures that ask members to contribute at least a little for their health care. Those measures aren't meant to save the state significant money, but they are meant to encourage healthy behaviors and the cost-conscious use of health care by individual Iowans. Plus, the contributions can be waived if members do things like health risk assessments, something that we did for all faculty, staff, and students at Des Moines University, and use preventative services to avoid chronic illnesses. This is a sustainable choice for Iowa today and in our future. The Healthy Iowa Plan is a modern healthcare plan that's designed to make our people healthier while remaining flexible for the state and sustainable for the long term. The Healthy Iowa Plan fits into our 2-year budget and 5-year projection and is a plan that Iowans will be able to rely on today and into the future. Make no mistake, the Healthy Iowa Plan is not Iowa Care. That was the Medicaid waiver that was obtained during the Vilsack administration, which was good intended and did some good things, but obviously has some shortcomings. That's why we've spent the time to redesign and come up with a better opportunity for a waiver. And I would point out, through waivers is how we've seen improvements made in the various entitlement programs. You may recall back in the 90s, we were one of the states that pioneered with a major waiver to move people from welfare to work. And part of that was, and we were able to pass that with bipartisan majorities in the House and the Senate. At that time, Dave Lyons actually helped me develop that when he was the state insurance commissioner. We, along with Wisconsin and Michigan and many other states, were able to get substantial waivers, and we helped people with child care and opportunities to get training and prepare for the workforce. And the result was we were able to move substantial people from welfare to work, and the result was those same people went off of Medicaid, and we were able to control the cost of Medicaid, I think, throughout the entire decade of the 1990s. When I left office, the cost of Medicaid, we had 250,000 people on Medicaid, and it was less than 12% of our state budget. But it is the biggest entitlement program, and it, along with Medicare and Social Security, are the big drivers in this huge federal deficit we have. That's the reason why I have grave misgivings about Iowa buying into federal entitlements that we know are not affordable and not sustainable for the long term. Our Medicaid already has grown from 250,000 people on Medicaid back when I left office to over 400,000 now. If we just bought into the federal Medicaid expansion, it would be another 150,000. We believe that clearly is not sustainable. The Healthy Iowa Plan ensures local access to outcome-based medicine in all parts of the state of Iowa, and our plan reduces the uninsured in Iowa while preserving essential safety net for our neediest citizens. With that, we'd be glad to respond to your questions.
Don't you have to get a waiver for this program?
Yes, absolutely.
Have you obtained that already?
No, but we have already talked with Secretary Sebelius about this. We got a pretty favorable response. He wanted to see the details, but generally, Health and Human Services has given waivers, as they did for Iowa Cares. So we want to work with everybody. We indicated we will work with Health and Human Services on the exchanges, and we expect to have their full cooperation on this waiver as well.
When do you expect to get an answer to
that? Well, the present program doesn't expire to the end of the year. So over the next several months, we'll be working with them on this. This is something that we intend to work with the legislature on, and we are very hopeful that we can get these things worked out with the legislature.
$162 million.
Well, the total cost, including federal dollars and money coming from other sources, is $162 million.
Annually?
That's annually, and that's the total cost. The states contribution is $23 million.
Why would the state contribute if you're getting a waiver?
Under the present waiver, the state contributes.
So this is not in any way...
This is another waiver, but it's a significantly improved waiver over the one that was obtained in 2005. Michael, why don't you step up to... Michael is the one on our staff that's been working on this.
So additional savings will be gleaned through bringing Medicaid eligibility levels into alignment with the Affordable Care Act. Through the Affordable Care Act, Iowans will qualify for the health insurance exchanges. Our actuaries have determined that a number of people will sign up for private insurance that is year-round coverage and more comprehensive in access rather than going on to Medicaid via the health insurance exchanges that will begin working October 1st of this year.
Okay, so to put that in the vernacular, that means that people who are on Medicaid now would go to the private exchanges instead?
Yes, at certain levels.
That's right. Above the poverty level.
Right.
These are people that are presently on Medicaid, but above the poverty level. They are eligible for the exchanges. So you've got to, this is a complicated system the Affordable Care Act has put together, and there's a lot of tough choices that have to be made by a lot of people. And we're trying to make the very best choice for the state of Iowa, and we're trying to give the people of Iowa the opportunity to do this. But we also are trying to redesign the system so that it encourages people to make healthy choices rather than just provide a blanket entitlement that doesn't do it. And you know, that's my concern about Medicaid, is we've had Medicaid, we've spent a lot of money, we've expanded the amount of people on it, and the health of our people's gotten worse. That's why we embarked on the whole new approach to become the healthiest state, and why we're trying to get state employees now to contribute towards their health insurance. We're working to try to get people in the private sector to look at what they can do in terms of exercise and nutrition and blue zones and all of that. So this is all part. This fits in very well with our goal to be the healthiest state in the country. We know we have to live with the Affordable Care Act. We want to make the healthiest choice for Iowa under the limitations that we have in that law. Yes, it will provide access through these ACOs, affordable care organizations, all throughout the state. In terms of mental health, we are in the process of the state taking over the cost of that system and managing that system through the reforms that we passed last year. And so we're in a four-year phase-in of that. We think that that system is going to much better manage those costs and help people to provide better services throughout the state of Iowa.
So it will provide mental health coverage under this?
No. We're doing that under the legislation we passed last year that's being phased in over a four-year period.
With the mental health redesign.
The mental health redesign is designed to do that. And so the mental health redesign was passed last year. It's a four-year phase-in. We're in the process of putting that in place. Yes, the state of Indiana, called Healthy Indiana, has been very successful. Under Mitch Daniels' leadership, the state of Indiana embarked on this kind of a program. I also think Wisconsin and other states, Wisconsin for sure, is also looking at going in this kind of direction.
Just to clarify something, under the expanded Medicaid program, would it cover, I believe they're talking about 150,000 people. So what's the gap between this? It sounds like...
Well, first of all, you got to recognize we're changing eligibility here as part of this waiver, and that is the people above the poverty level will be eligible. They haven't in the past, but now under the Affordable Care Act, they will have the opportunity to have subsidized private insurance.
Right.
which they can obtain through the exchanges. And we're going to do a public, we're going to do a partnership exchange between the federal and state, okay? And those below the poverty level are the ones that will be served by this program.
So between the two, we will cover the 150,000
right.
that was anticipated to be.
And do you expect that the enrollment for the new version of IOCare
will
go up, right? Is that 89,000?
Well, we'll have some of the people that are above the poverty level that will have the opportunity to go into the exchanges. And then we will have those below that will be eligible for this new Healthy Iowa plan.
And Governor, IOCare was a form of Medicaid.
No. You need to understand this stuff.
Okay.
Let me explain it again, okay? We'll start over. Just a second.
No.
It was a waiver. It was a waiver. There is some federal Medicaid money that was a match, but it's a waiver, okay? It's very similar to what we did when we did welfare reform. That was a waiver back in the 90s. And that led to reforming and transforming the whole system. And what we're saying right now, Medicaid is where welfare was in the 90s. It's a broken system. It's unaffordable, unsustainable. We need to come up with a new model. What Indiana has done, what we're wanting to do here, what many other states, including Wisconsin, we're trying to come up with a better alternative that gets people to take ownership of their own health, that provides for an opportunity to get better outcomes.
When would this program be available, and how much federal funding
would you? Well, Michael, why don't you?
The waiver will be due, is due later this year, May, June, and hopefully with an expedited review of the waiver.
We will present to the Department of Health and Human Services our request for the waiver in like May or June.
Absolutely. And then so we Governor Branstad, when he was meeting with Secretary Sebelius, asked for expedited review of that waiver so that we could have this program available as soon as possible for Iowans, hopefully beginning January 1st of 2014. It would be, the federal funding would be at our current Medicaid match rate, so it would be at roughly 58%, as opposed to the greater match rate with expansion.
How does that compare
to what you're getting now for Iowa? It'd be essentially the same. Remember, this Medicaid match rate also changes. We, this year, are picking up $52 million that was paid for by the federal government last year. Because the way their system works, because we're doing better than other states, our match goes down. So we have to pick up more what they paid last year.
Governor,
yep.
Your concern with extended Medicaid all along has been the federal share, and your concern that they might not be able to uphold that responsibility in the future. If this relies on 58% or whatever,
that's better than 100%. Well, the cut when it comes is not going to be as big. And what we're saying is, let's realize reality. The federal government is broke. They're spending $1 trillion more than they're taking in every year. Right now, we're into sequester. But let's talk about the lunacy of sequester. What's driving this huge increase in the national debt is entitlements. Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. They're going up on an unsustainable rate. So what did the Congress and the President agree to? They agreed to have automatic sequester that hits particularly hard on national defense, but also on domestic discretionary funding. Now, just go 10 years forward, okay? At the present rate of growth of these entitlement programs, they use up, they plus the interest on the national debt, which is being kept down extremely low because the Federal Reserve has kept interest rates extremely low. And every 1% that interest rates go up increases the cost to fund the national debt by $170 billion. So there's no money left for any discretionary funding. So we just better anticipate federal funding. Either you got to address the entitlement programs or the discretionary federal funding is going to go away. It's just going to be gone.
How will Healthy Iowa
Well, because it has a whole program that focuses on health. The whole idea is you do things that, and you get rewards for doing things like health risk assessments. Health risk assessments, let me explain how that works. You do you do a review of your own health risks by having a physical and finding out, you know, what your blood pressure is and cholesterol and all these different issues. And then what you do is you work to try to reduce those risk factors. Those risk factors are often what leads to things like diabetes, high blood pressure, and these chronic diseases. Chronic diseases are the big drivers in the cost of health care. I've heard it's 80% of the cost. So if we can reduce those risk factors, people can live longer and healthier lives, and we can save a substantial amount of money. Well, those people above the poverty level are all eligible. In fact, they're not only eligible, if they don't, I think there's penalties and fines for not participating, right?
So under this plan, with the tax credits above the federal poverty level alone, we should cut the uninsured rate in Iowa by half. On top of that, everyone below the federal poverty level, roughly 89,000 people under this plan would be eligible for coverage on the Healthy Iowa plan. Every single person.
How much above the poverty level? 138%?
No, 100%. The poverty level. So we're cutting it off at the above the poverty level. They're eligible to participate in the exchange. Below, they'll be covered under the Healthy Iowa plan. Well, I can't speak for other states. I can tell you, I've seen what Mitch Daniel did in Indiana. Well, I think we've copied a lot of those good ideas. We've also consulted with Governor Walker in Wisconsin. We've talked with other governors like Governor Jindal and Governor Brownback. And there's different states are trying to do different things. But I would go back to the 1990s and talk about what solved the problem with welfare dependency was the states that had the courage to experiment with different waivers. We did that. Wisconsin under Tommy Thompson did substantial waivers. Michigan, under Governor Engler at the time, we were kind of the lead states, but there were several others that did it as well. And the result of that and the savings that we got under those waivers convinced the Congress. This is when Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House. I remember meeting with them. I remember meeting with the House and Senate members. Convinced the Congress to pass major welfare reform, which President Clinton signed. And the result is welfare rolls were reduced substantially. That also led to, because with eligible for welfare automatically came Medicaid coverage, that helped us control Medicaid costs. And that's one of the reasons why I asked Chuck Palmer to come back, because during the last 8 years that I was governor during the 90s, Medicaid in Iowa was kept under control. And that's a pretty significant accomplishment considering what happened before and after. And after, of course, we've seen the costs of Medicaid go up 129%. So I came back and it's now approaching 18% of the budget. It's gone up 129%. It's clearly not sustainable.
Governor, yeah. This weekend, senators on Ways and Means Committee indicated gas tax is dead this year. Do you accept that? And how long can the DOT and Iowa roads go without a funding increase?
Well, my top priority is to reduce the property taxes for all Iowans this year. And I've indicated if that can be approved, and I just heard this morning's news, they're saying they're anticipating gas prices may be going down now. The big problem, I think, for a lot of Iowans has been, even since I presented the condition of the state address back in January, the cost of gas has gone up 60 cents a gallon. That's without any change in motor fuel user fees. So I do think that Iowans recognize that the people that use our roads ought to pay the cost of maintaining them. But that's getting more and more complicated as we're seeing the change in the way vehicles are fueled. We're going to see a lot of trucks going to natural gas and propane. We've already seen an increase of cars that are electric or hybrids and things like this. And we need to have a system that is equitable to all road users. I believe it should be a pay-as-you-go system. I think it ought to be paid by the users. And I'm willing to work with the legislature on a bipartisan basis to get that done. But I've said I want to make sure that we can tell Iowans their taxes are going to go down, not up. And that's why we need to pass the permanent property tax reform.
Governor,
well, I think it's important that we do things that are going to be permanent, and also I want to protect all classes of property. Unfortunately, the Senate bill does nothing for the homeowners. Under the Senate proposal, we will see a $1 billion increase in residential property taxes over the next 5 years because they don't do anything to limit the growth under the productivity formula where residential is tied to agriculture. And it's going to be able to go up 4% a year. I think that's absolutely wrong, and I think that is unfair to the homeowners, the taxpayers of the state.
Two more quickly, Bill and Dave.
Governor, could you just talk about appointing your son to the Natural Resources Commission? And if this were a Democratic governor, wouldn't you folks be crying?
Absolutely not. Well, first and foremost, let me make it clear. My son Marcus loves to hunt, loves to fish. He is a strong advocate for the natural resources, and he's a young man in his 20s. He also has a lot of friends on both sides of the aisle, and he wanted to be appointed 2 years ago, and I told him no. This time, I personally talked with Senator Gronstall. He has no problem with this. I also know my son has talked to a number of senators. I really believe he is very well qualified, and I don't think he should be disqualified just because he's my son. He really, let me tell you, he's got deer stands in three counties. He's got 8 deer stands in 3 counties. He's a bow hunter. He hunts with a shotgun, and he does it with a muzzle loader. He hunts ducks and geese. He fishes. He ice fishes. I mean, I don't know of anybody that's more of a sportsman or follows these things closer than Marcus Branstad. So just because he's my son should not prevent him from having this opportunity to serve as a volunteer on this important commission that oversees our natural resources. The idea is to cover everybody, but to provide incentives for people to do good things. They're going to help protect their health, and it's going to help reduce their health care costs. And you know, we know the coverage is not as rich as it is under the federal program. But then again, it's not, it doesn't put Iowa at as much risk, I guess, and the nation for that matter, with regard to an unaffordable, unsustainable program. And we can see what's going on in Washington today, and it's going to just get worse and worse and worse. Because unless you address these entitlements that are driving the massive deficit in this country, we're not going to have any money left to pay for any domestic discretionary things, for national defense or anything else. And that's an untenable position for this nation to be in. And there's no way we can tax our way out of it.
Final question.
Well, that's always been the idea. That's the whole idea of a healthy estate, is to get people to take ownership of their own health. And that's been my issue with state employees, too. If you have no skin in the game, if it's somebody else is paying the whole cost of it, it's like former Governor Tim Pawlenty from Minnesota said, it's like going to a wedding where you have an open bar versus a cash bar. There's going to be a lot more liquor consumed with the open bar. So we don't want that. Okay, we're... Well, we'd like to see the beginning salary increased. We'd like to see significant accountability. So we think the House passed a good bill. We would like to see the Senate improve on it by going back to at least the $35,000 beginning salary that we recommended. We think that may have broad bipartisan support. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we can live with it. We would prefer the 35, but we're very happy with what the House did. That's a pretty minor modification, but and many school districts are already above the 32 or even the 35 for that matter. But we would like to the higher the beginning salary, the more attractive the profession. We have, in addition to that, recommended that high achievers be given a stipend that would make it more advantageous for them to go into teaching, especially in key subjects like math and science.
Thank you. Thank you.